It's Bucky and Aaron.
It was between the B and the C at the 50-yard line.
But the Eagle had landed.
But the Eagle did land, yes. And it wasn't a comfortable landing.
But then you told me in the break that sent you to the clinic.
Yeah.
The RIA?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You know what I mean?
Like, to the on-campus clinic to get, like, a shot?
I had to make sure things were okay. So you go and you get checked out, you know.
You knew things weren't okay.
Well, no. There was something told. You know your own body, and when things aren't the same, or you're going, Mommy, it burns. So you know things aren't right. So you have to, yeah. I didn't know she was the campus favorite. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, I think good choice on song there, BK, for that little open, Rolling Stones. You could have gone with Stray Cat Blues, too, on that one. Does your mama know you can scratch like that?
Or I got burned.
There is a song by Eminem called Drips.
Oh, which, no.
try to find a clean version, but more than half of it sounded like an instrumental, basically. I couldn't find a clean one.
Stray Cat Blues is a good one, too, Rolling Stones. But, yeah, having fun on a Friday. Glad you're with us as we get you into your weekend. This is the first full five-day work week for a lot of folks in a while. It was five full days.
I know.
No 4th of July in there, no time off, no birthday parties. This has been a slog this week, Buck, you and me.
Well, I felt this after the mullet opening, getting ready last Friday and stuff, a week ago today. I was like lifting stuff and putting it in trucks and getting it out to Lost Pines. And I'm just starting to get over that whole deal right there.
Yeah, well.
Been tough sleeping nights. Then I played golf yesterday, of course, at
Flint Rock Falls yesterday.
It was so hot.
Yeah, it's like an oven.
I don't know. As I get older, I'm trying my best to say, you know what, stay in shape. You can really do this. But when you sit there on the greens for like 2 or 3 minutes and these slucks around you are taking your time and bending
plumb
over.
Plumb bobbing. Plumb bobbing. That's when the guy holds up that golf club and kind of, like, he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just kind of standing behind his ball.
Trying to find out where the earth is and where the earth is rotating. I'm like, man, you're not on a PGA tour. Just putt the ball, please. You know what I mean? I got one guy yesterday laying on the green, like laying down on his chest to figure out where the
Carmelo
pole is going.
Villegas?
Yes, and I'm like,
Camilo Villegas?
You're going to miss it anyway. I'm like screaming, you're going to miss it. I'm going, Noonan, miss it. I mean, I'm just burning up, E. I don't even have any sweat coming out anymore. You know when you get to the point where you don't sweat?
You know when your car overheats without water? That's the same thing.
Yes.
That's the fastest way to an overheater.
Yes, it's just, and I couldn't drink enough yesterday.
Okay.
I learned how to drink water yesterday. I guarantee you that. Right. And cranberry juice.
Beanie on the horn. Hydrate yourself again today. Got our Coach's Corner coming up. Wayne Miller, our pit master, will be with us for our Friday feature. Our barbecue and smoked meat tip of the week from the master.
I'm heading to Perry's today. Perry Day.
Ooh,
it's
Perry's
Friday.
For the pork chop?
Yeah, pork chop day. Ooh. At Perry's with the boys.
How early you got to make reservations for those?
I made them a week out.
Man.
You're going with the boys, huh?
Yeah.
So I got to call in today if I want next Friday.
And you may not get it the time you want because I'm going at 1:30. I mean,
Perry's downtown.
Oh, that's
awesome. For the Friday pork chop.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to do brown gravy, mashed potatoes and brown gravy. I'm just dying for that. We got great places. That meal that he had here for my birthday deal was so delicious. There are so many. I haven't been to Hoover's in so long. I got this cankering. Is it cankering? Is that
hanker? Or,
hankers, not cankers?
Hankering.
That must have been at the 50-yard line, too, the cankers. But I got this deal. I want some greens. You know, like my mama's greens?
You can get that at Hoover's.
I want some greens in a bad way.
All right, we'll get you some.
BK, he's all getting all juiced up back there.
We'll also give you your chance to win this Dave Campbell's Texas football copy. We're doing Tom Herman and Tom Herman coaching staff trivia as we learn these new coaches that are heading up the Longhorns. With that in mind, let's get your headlines, get you caught up on the news of the day. Tickets to the update desk. We go. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. 50 days. In a few hours from right now, Texas Longhorns will host the Maryland Terrapins to open the 2017 football season and begin the Tom Herman era of Texas football. This year's Horns feature an entirely new coaching staff, of course, 17 returning starters, though. And yesterday, the Big 12 released its preseason media poll. Texas picked to finish fourth in the 10-team Big 12. Defending champions Oklahoma picked to win the conference, followed by Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Earlier in the week, 5 Longhorns were named to the preseason All-Big 12 squad. On offense, it's junior offensive tackle Connor Williams. 3 on defense, Puna Ford, defensive tackle, junior linebacker Malik Jefferson, and sophomore defensive lineman Malcolm Roach on the first-team All-Big 12 squad. And punter Michael Dixon made the squad. September 2nd, 50 days out, Texas and Maryland, 11 a.m. kick time, 7 a.m. pregame. with Texas Game Day right here on the Horn. Baseball, Round Rock Express opened their post-All-Star break with a 6-2 loss in Memphis. Same two again tonight, 7:05. You'll hear it with Mike Capps right here on the Horn right after Chad and Kevin this afternoon. Astros and Rangers and the rest of the MLB are back from their All-Star break tonight. Houston sitting at 60-29. 16.5 game lead in the AL West. They open the second half at home facing Minnesota. The Twins for three this weekend. Astros send Charlie Morton to the hill for his second start since coming off the DL tonight. Rangers, meanwhile, two games under 500 at 43-45. They're still hoping to make a wild card run here into July, but if their play doesn't improve between now and the 31st, which is the non-waiver trade deadline, ESPN reports that the club will begin be open to discussing trading starters Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels before that deadline. They open their second half in Kansas City facing the surging Royals. Martin Perez on the bump for Texas. Speaking of trades, the scuffling world champion Cubs looking to jumpstart their second half made the first big move of the trade season yesterday. They pulled off a blockbuster as the Cubs sent four minor leaguers, including their two top prospects, to the crosstown White Sox for left-handed ace Jose Quintana. Cubs trail Milwaukee by 5.5 games in the NL Central. Should be an exciting weekend and day at Wimbledon. We've got 37-year-old Venus Williams into the women's final. 35-year-old Roger Federer playing in a men's semifinal today. Federer, a 7-time Wimbledon champ, has yet to drop a set at the All England Club. He'll face Tomas Berdych in the semifinals this morning at the All England Club. That one will go about 9:30 local time. Venus Williams, meanwhile, winner of 5 Wimbledon titles, but hadn't won one since back in 2007. She's going to face Garbine Muguruza tomorrow in her 9th Wimbledon final. Should be a lot of fun. The old-timers showing them how to do it this weekend. And that's the news. No, you wouldn't think when you say, if I would have said to you before this, when was the last time Venus Williams won a Grand Slam? You would have said it was sooner than 10 years ago.
No.
You wouldn't have?
No, I mean,
I would have. I don't follow tennis as closely.
When her sister came onto the scene, I mean, there are a lot of young ladies that haven't had a chance to win. She's just been kind of dominating tennis.
She won her first at Wimbledon in 2000, Venus did, and she won her last in Wimbledon in 2007. She hasn't won one since, and here she is.
She's struggled in regular tournaments a lot.
Sure, Venus is saying,
yeah.
Man, I wish my sister had gotten pregnant sooner.
No kidding. What's the deal with that?
You want to have another kid after this one?
Yes. Go back to back, please.
Go to her husband. Hey, keep her knocked up, okay?
Yeah. It's good for tennis. It really is. I like this for tennis. I like to see people like Venus and some of the other young ladies get an opportunity to get in there.
That you've never heard of. You can't even pronounce their names. Who are these people?
Medicek or whatever, yes.
Muguruza?
Yeah.
Where's she from? Garbine. Her name's Garbine.
I think she's a German.
Ooh, Garbine. Hey, we got good for Beyonce, by the way. Speaking of babies, did you see this? Beyonce tweeted out or Instagrammed out a picture of her and her twin infant babies. Beyonce has announced her children to the world via social media. Rumi and Sir. They named their kids Sir Carter.
Sir Carter?
Sir Carter. S-I-R. And then Rumi, R-U-M-I. And the Instagram post since going online overnight has already gotten like 4 million likes.
Teaching their kids manners. Teaching the other two to say sir every time you address a man.
I love that.
All right. This says Perry's is the best pork chop in the world.
That Friday deal, I mean, you see the who's who of whatever for $14 try to get in that place. To get that, I think, $35, $40 pork chop for $14 on a Friday. Like to make the reservations, BK.
Man, by the way, quick fact correction, because I want to make sure we're spitting out not fake news. Muguruza is from España.
Oh, España.
Spanish.
Yeah, Sergio's there.
Español.
Sergio's there. Isn't Sergio getting ready to get married? That's got to be coming up in July to Miss Aikens, right?
Who is it?
Marty Aikens' daughter. That wedding's this month.
Well, I didn't get my invite.
You didn't get it?
No.
Well, you better go talk to Owen. I mean, Owen can get you in, I'm pretty sure.
Luke Wilson?
Or Luke. Oh, it's Luke.
I don't know Owen. I know Luke.
Luke is the guy you know.
I think Ben Crenshaw would be the better guy to tit up.
That's true.
To invite to the Sergio Garcia with nuptials.
That's the way to go.
But, yeah, I don't know when that wedding is. Now, I'm assuming Sergio will be playing in the British Open next week. So
probably after that
one. Probably going to be after the British.
After the British,
before the PGA. All right. So a little golf. Quick on the Cubs trade. That was interesting for me to see the Cubs trying to jumpstart. You know, their veteran expensive pitching staff has not pitched well, and they're 5.5 back of the Brewers. They trade 4 prospects, including their top 2 prospects. This outfielder, Eloy Ramirez, who's a stud, number 5 rated overall prospect in baseball as an outfielder, and they traded their top pitching prospect, Dylan Cease, to the White Sox. The White Sox have loaded up. I'll go through some of the trades they've made coming up. They traded Chris Sale. They made another big trade. They've traded three or four of their best players to restock their farm. Keep an eye on the White Sox in coming
years.
They've
had 2 years of doing this.
Yeah, well, look, we see what the Astros do. Sometimes you got to bottom out, and it's one of the things the Rangers have to consider because their farm system is devoid of young, talented arms. They need to go – well, they have some young at the very low levels, but – they need some guys that are closer to the big leagues because their pitching staff, their bullpen needs a lot of help. Their staff could use help, and they've got Darvish and Hamels. If they don't get off to a hot start here in the second half, watch for them to be sellers in the next couple of weeks and start to restock the farm a little bit. Cubs got the first jump on that yesterday. Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner at just before 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Before we bring on our friend Wayne Miller for our barbecue tip of the week, let's give away a copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football 2017 edition with Tom Herman on the cover. We're doing it with Tom Herman trivia, getting to know him and his new coaching staff as we're 50 days out to the start of the college football season. Today's question, Buck, put your thinking caps on. This member of Tom Herman's coaching staff, born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was a three-year letter winner at a Big Ten school, actually won a Rose Bowl while in college, and has coached in 10 bowl games at four different schools before joining Tom Herman's staff at Texas this offseason. Who is it at 447?
I can't say.
3776.
Because I'm going to get it right this time.
You got this one? Don't say it.
Okay, I'm not going to say
it. I'll ask you after.
All right. I'm ready to go, though.
All right. That's your question.
Okay.
For your copy, born in Pittsburgh, PA, Big Ten school, won a Rose Bowl while in college playing, and then has coached in 10 bowl games. At four different schools on his way.
Four different places.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get that answer quick because I'm ready to go. I think I got this one today.
All right.
Probably not, but I'm going to take a shot at it.
Let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. It's one of our favorite features of the summer. It's our great friend Wayne Miller, the pitmaster at Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, right downtown. Third generation, smoking the meat and doing it the right way. Wayne, how you doing, bud?
I'm beautiful. How are you this morning?
Excellent. You ready for how hot is it in there when you're smoking meat when it's 100 degrees outside?
Oh man, you know, coming in this morning, if you need a detox, come see me early in the morning, like 1 a.m.
Yes.
I've got just the thing for you. We'll sweat it out of you without having to do a darn thing.
Just sit there.
Just stand there. Sit there.
That's nice. Hey, Wayne,
have a cup of coffee and double up on it.
Right. Thank you so much for getting that. What do you call those? I call them bibs, smocks.
Aprons.
Thank you for getting the aprons out to the Mullet Open. I mean, having them delivered out there for us the morning before the Mullet Open. And they were gone. As a matter of fact, we put them on the tables, like, you know, 20 different tables. And when I came back, they were all gone at lunchtime, which I expected. So thanks for doing that, man. We appreciate it so much.
Bucky, it's my pleasure. Did the tournament go well?
It was fantastic.
Right.
It was fantastic. And looking forward to having some talks with you about next year, my friend.
We'll definitely do that, man.
All right.
Absolutely.
We're excited about it. And by the way, I didn't tell you this, Wayne. I walked away with a smoker out of that raffle, one of those Traeger smokers. You have to teach me everything you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll come out with some how-to videos.
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll put those online.
Please.
Oh, man. I'm going to butcher that
stuff. Put an
apron
on E and just put him online. That would be great.
But Wayne will teach
us. Oh, yeah. Put him a chef's hat. Little mittens.
That's perfect.
He set it all down.
Hey, Wayne, before we get to the questions, we wanted to ask you, we've got one on the text line right off the top here. Question for you, because people are loving these segments on a Friday. It says, Wayne, my briskets tend to stall out at about 160 internal temperature, even after an hour per pound at 225. Any tips on that?
Add more heat.
That's it?
Add more heat, wrap them. To retain the heat that you already have infused. So, yes, you're going to hit a stall. It's this classic cooking a challenge that we all have with brisket. The stall is really based upon how much heat's going into a brisket and how much fat is being rendered out. So you're adding more heat in. It's rendering out the fat, but it's not increasing the temperature at all. So one way to hold that temperature is to wrap it up.
Yeah, and we learned that last week, that you get the butcher paper. And someone asked after you dropped off last week, does aluminum foil work for that? But give me your thoughts on the difference between foil and or butcher paper.
Yeah, you know, one's an insulator and one's a conductor of heat. So aluminum foil does work. It's often called the Texas crutch. It's used in competition quite a bit. They use it to hold in fat, moisture, water, while also retaining heat. I don't particularly use it. We don't use it at Louis Miller, but we use a similar sort of philosophy in trying to retain the heat. We do it with butcher paper. That's an insulator, so it doesn't dry out the bark as much. Aluminum foil will.
Yeah, well, that's
it attracts all the heat, and it just adds that additional layer of heat all the way around.
And that was what we learned last week, Buck, when we were getting ready for the Mullet Open. Wrap your brisket about halfway through, and then rest it in a cooler for a couple hours after you're done, and you'll get unbelievable results with your brisket. All right, Wayne Miller with us, the pitmaster at Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, with us on a Friday. Hey, explain to us the difference between competition barbecue and barbecue festivals. You know, what's the difference there?
Well, you know, competition barbecue has been around for decades. It's people utilize competitions as a way to showcase what they themselves have developed, what they're proud of. Any individual with a pit, I mean, it could be, you know, an old keg that somebody has sort of rigged up and brought in their trunk to a competition, and they can utilize that to showcase how well they can cook meats. There's usually prizes involved, and some of these have national recognition, like the Memphis in May or the Royal. Barbecue festivals are a relatively new invention. They've been around maybe 10, 15 years. The largest in the country that I know of is the Big Apple Barbecue Block Party in New York on Madison Avenue. That one has about 100, 125,000 people attending.
Wow.
But that one's for commercial barbecue establishments. So that they bring together people from around the country, around the region, to allow all the attendees to come and taste and sample foods from people that maybe they haven't had a chance to try. But usually it's some of the top barbecue that you can get in the commercial space, just all in one location. So competition, also good barbecue, also from around the country. But these are less known people. These are people really trying to make a name for themselves. I don't want to call them amateurs because they're not really amateurs. These people put a lot of time, effort into their craft, into trying to learn. They use this oftentimes as a catapult to break into a commercial space. So they'll go from here to a catering, from catering to a brick and mortar or a trailer, and really start a second career.
Wayne, when you have competitions all over, and you know, we obviously in the state of Texas, I mean, the king of kings and queens of barbecue reside in this state. But when you look outside this state, and people talk about Kansas City, when you start to talk about the Northeast, you talk about New York and Jersey and Pennsylvania and places in Ohio. Are there specific places that as you've gone around, really do a great job in cooking barbecue?
I think so. You know, one of the largest transplant, I think the greatest burgeoning sort of barbecue culture is, of all places, Brooklyn, New York. There's been, in the last 10, 15 years, there's probably now a dozen barbecue establishments, many of which do the Central Texas tradition, cooking up some really good smoked meats. But, you know, it's the platform. It's the place. Brisket is an unknown in New York. It's been a pastrami meat for a long time.
Right.
So it's been in delis for forever and ever and ever. It's just now cooked in a little different fashion. So it's been embraced there. I think also the very thought of the hipster food movement sort of has its, you know, it evolved out of that shell. And so it was embraced because it's this old, traditional, authentic way of doing something that isn't all mechanized. It's hands-on. And they just seem to have adopted it very well. They brought in Southern-style barbecue, and Texas has been following. And now it's becoming this fusion of what is Brooklyn, what is New York, what is Texas barbecue, what is South Carolina barbecue. And everybody's adding their own spin to it. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. You're seeing this imported, exported everywhere. Regional cuisine and cultural taste are being merged with these traditional dishes. and you're creating something slightly different, slightly new, that is uniquely that space.
Pretty cool. Wayne Miller with us. All right, I know you have thoughts, and I know it's a debate you have with your competitors and colleagues and friends in the industry. The Texas Monthly Top 50, which, I mean, is really a driver. It's a big deal for you guys when it does come out. Everybody's crossing their fingers. But your thoughts on only, you know, the establishments that are open three or fewer days a week, or maybe even just one day a week, and then those like yourselves that are open all week long.
Yeah, I've been baited into this debate for the last few years, last couple of lists in particular. What do I think about somebody who's just cooking one day a week versus people who cook 5, 6, 7 days a week? Is that really fair to the people who are grinding it out every week? If somebody who's just cooking 1, 2, or 3 days a week is listed amongst the same barbecue joints in the same sort of way. And, I'm less of a purist when it comes to let's look at how many days we're grinding it out. That definitely plays a role. I think, Bucky, your comments earlier about, you know, it can wear you out 16, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, 320 days out of the year. It'll wear you out for sure. But if you're talking about what's the best barbecue, who does it the best? I mean, does it really matter if it's one day a week, 6 days a week? Everybody has their model. Everybody has their operational procedures. Everybody has their needs. For us, this is my primary source of income. This is what we do for a living. Other people have multiple sources of income or have multiple businesses. And maybe this is just something that they do on the side. If they're still cooking better than anybody else, they're still cooking better than anybody else.
It's true.
That's the way I see it. Not everybody believes that as I do. They think that, well, you know, some bonus points should be given from the fact that I do it, you know, 300 days more out of the year than you did. Well, maybe you should try it a little harder. You know.
Hey, Wayne, what about a separate list? Is that something people would be in favor of? It's up to Texas Monthly. It's their magazine. But do one that, you know, is for folks that, you know, 6, 7 days, or in one that's less.
Look, the only reason they put out lists anyway is to create controversy.
True.
So that people will come and buy and read the magazine and then have their own discussions internally, externally, and it's a driving force for future consumption of the magazine, right?
Absolutely.
To have separate lists, yeah, it would create more controversy. So I think, yes, the magazine should look into something like that.
Let me ask you this. There are people that, you know, the ones that don't have the big smokers or really don't want to have the big smokers, and they're using electric smokers. When I came back from Alaska and I smoked salmon, I tried this electric smoker on the stove and all that, and it smoked pretty well. I mean, what about the novice, they don't want to have the big smoker? Have you ever witnessed that or tasted anything that came off an electric smoker?
I have, and I think personally, there are places that are restrictive. Like in New York, you can't have a smoker in your apartment. You can't have one on your balcony. That doesn't mean they don't exist, but legally, you're not supposed to.
Right.
People still are looking to try to have that experience and get as close to it as they can. You're going to use what you have available to you. I mean, barbecue is all about using the natural resources or the resources easily available to you in your area to create, you know, some black gold, essentially. Does it really matter if it's electric or gas or wood or some combination thereof? What are you trying to accomplish? I mean, if you're feeding yourself and a couple of other people, your
right.
family, your friends, you know, what difference does it really make? If you're producing good food that tastes good to you and your friends, then I think you've accomplished your goal. I'm less of a purist when it comes to that. I know that what we do is difficult. I know that what we do has a lot of specialty equipment and takes a lot of training. Some people are dedicated to doing that. Some people aren't. It's like me in golf. You know, I don't play golf. I hack at golf. You know, I gauge my score by number of balls lost, you know? So for me, you know, golf is about going out and being outdoors, not about how well I perform, even though I'm competitive as hell. So, you know, if you're a you want some sort of simulated smoked meat and you can do it in an electric environment, I say do it. As a matter of fact, I put out a I gave the James Beard Foundation for their American Eats cookbook a recipe for in-house kitchen oven roasted Texas brisket. So it's essentially the same brisket we make in the restaurant, except you can do it in an electric oven.
Nice.
Why not?
Why not? And that, what cookbook is that in, Wayne?
It's called American Eats by the James Beard Foundation.
Love it.
So hey, they're all their American classics. Recipients have all of them have put in some sort of recipe for something that they do in their restaurant that you know has a longstanding history of quality. So they kind of created this cookbook just for them. And that was our inclusion.
Love it. Hey, Wayne, we always love it. We'll do it again next Friday. Get some sleep if you can. And we're going to get together. You're going to have to teach me how to use this smoker because I'm now going to try my hand at something we've had a lot of fun with this summer. It's good to hear you.
Great to hear from all you guys. Thank you so much. And Bucky, congratulations on your golf tournament.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it, buddy.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right, there's Wayne Miller every Friday in the Coach's Corner because we need the tips. And he just dropped them right there. He just dropped some great knowledge on you. Good stuff. We'll come back when we do. We'll actually hear from some coaches. We got ACC Media Day sound. We'll hear from Jimbo Fisher bragging about the ACC conference. Dabo Swinney, your reigning national championship coach. How do they move on from last year's championship? Also, we'll hear from last year's Heisman Trophy winner who was talking yesterday. We'll get to all that, plus thoughts on Wayne. BK leads us through Hot or Not. We've got great things coming. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, congrats to Darren. Darren knew that our Tom Herman trivia coach answer was defensive coordinator Todd Orlando. Did you know that one, Buck? I was supposed to ask you.
No, I had the running back coach again. Most important coach over, yes.
We're going to get to him at some point because you've answered him twice.
I'm going to be right.
Eventually you'll be right if you keep picking Stan Drayton, the running back's coach. But no, Todd Orlando was a hard-hitting linebacker. Solid square-jawed linebacker.
And coached there too, right?
For Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think he was ever a coach at Wisconsin.
Not at Wisconsin, but Ohio State, right?
No. Todd Orlando was not Ohio State.
He was never with Tom Herman at all?
He went from the Aggies of Utah State
to
Houston.
Houston?
Now he's here.
He started at his coaching at Penn and then went to...
He's a Penn Quaker?
Yeah, UConn, Florida International, Utah State, Houston. And that came from the Utah State Aggies to join Tom Herman when Tom Herman took the Houston job. He was a rising coach and did a great job at Utah State and then went to Houston. And then now he's with Texas. Todd Orlando won a Rose Bowl with the Badges back in the day.
UConn.
Dude, I'm telling you, because we had the breakouts, we got to meet these coaches. That dude has an intensity to him that is, you know, middle linebacker like Mike Singletary. I mean, he's got this intensity.
So did Vance Bedford.
No, he was a little more of a yuckster.
He was a yuckster.
He liked to yuck. No, Vance was great. He was fun. I don't know that we're going to get a lot of jokes from Todd Orlando. I'm just saying.
There won't be any funny hour?
I don't think we're getting many jokes.
There's not going to be any comedy?
Yeah, it's funny that the offensive and defensive coordinator of Texas, one grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, Tim Beck, and one grew up in Pittsburgh. Both like blue-collar, Midwestern, you know. That Midwestern ethic, the way that goes, and we know how successful that's been in coaching. So those are the two top coordinators for Texas, Todd Orlando. And I'll say this for Coach Orlando. If he can get the most out of that group of linebackers, he's got his, you know, Gary Johnson's in from junior college, Malik Jefferson, Anthony Wheeler, you know, Malcolm Roach, whether he's a defensive end or a linebacker, we'll see. Nashawn Hughes, Brecken Hager, he's got a group. If he can get those linebackers playing at a higher level and a high level, defense can be significantly improved.
I think they have athletic ability. They got great athletic ability. That's the thing. Those guys are kind of talented athletes that just, they look like they're standing in mud most of the time over the last couple of years. They've been mudsters.
Mudsters.
They just haven't moved. They don't move. They don't get off of blocks. They're like statues.
All right, let's dive. Now, Coach's Corner on Fridays, we have Wayne Miller, so we didn't get to hear from our coaches, actual coaches. So let's do that because it's football season. We told you 50 days to Texas football, 50 days to the first Saturday of college football. Excited about that. How about Jimbo Fisher yesterday? You know, we're going to get together next week and put together our Horn Top 25, and it'll be out. We'll start counting it down July 31st and count it all the way to number one. on September the 1st, 25 shows. Excited about that. But Jimbo Fisher, who a lot of people think have a chance at a national title this year, they have that good a team, and they play Alabama to start the season 50 days from now. He says, forget about the SEC, the Big Ten. It's all about the ACC.
Very proud to be here, excited to be here. I think for another great year in the ACC, as like I say, we have, I think we've established ourselves as, I think, the premier conference in college football. I think we've what we've accomplished in the last few years and the things we've been able to do as a conference and the commitment that our conference has made and the schools in this conference have made with the coaches, the players, and everything that goes with it. Very proud to be a part of this and very challenging at the same time.
Best conference, ACC?
Yes.
Best conference, top to bottom?
Yes, even better than the Big Ten.
Really?
Yes, this year.
You sure?
I believe so.
You know there's more teams besides Clemson, Florida State, and Louisville?
Yeah, because you got to judge the bottom of the bag too, right?
I mean, I think Miami's going to jump in there.
Ooh,
and
there's a good one. Mark Richt.
Yeah, I think they're going to start jumping into the battle here in the ACC very, very soon, maybe even this year. I mean, if you get three or four teams at the top level, I think that'll be pretty good. Well, and I think that'll be good for the ACC.
Some people think this North Carolina team can be okay. Pittsburgh's a pretty good team. They're going to play Oklahoma State.
Pittsburgh came on the scene last year.
You know, Pitt plays Oak State in September.
That's
at Pittsburgh.
Big game.
It's a big game for the Big 12. NC State's a decent team. How about your Boston College Eagles, baby?
No.
Come on, man.
They got pretty good. They got really good defense, but they can't score any points. They're really, really bad on offense. But they have some defensive players. You know, is Spaziani still the guy?
Spaziani.
Steve Adazio?
Yeah, Nandazio, whatever his name.
Spaziani?
Yeah.
It's your alma mater.
I know, but come on, man. They don't score any points. They haven't had a quarterback in forever.
Well, and Harold Landry, their defensive end, might be the best defensive player in the country.
He can play now.
He's really good. Spaziani? Telling you said that. Hey, how about the reigning national champions? They are Clemson. They lost a ton to the draft and to the NFL, including their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, but Dabo Swinney knows they've got to move on.
Last year's touchdowns aren't going to win this year. Last year's sacks aren't going to win this year. You got to prove it all over again. The depth chart, we promote and demote constantly. There's no entitlement. You got to prove it and earn it every single day. Trust me, when we line up to play, ain't nobody going to care about what happened last year. It's all about this year, and again, I think that's the culture we've established.
Culture.
There's no entitlement up in here.
With our slide and our nap room.
Not up in here!
And our barbershop and everything we have.
Hey, we have a slide in our facility.
That gets you down to the first floor. You go up to the second
floor. I still
want
that. I'm not knocking it. I've told
you should knock that.
I've told our boss over and over, I want a slide. I can slide to the parking lot. I've told him, we've got a fourth floor, you know, that little park area right outside the back door. We could slide down
right to the parking lot.
Jump out the window. Woo-hoo! And then a nap room. Nap room and a slide we need here at the Horn.
I could dig a nap room.
Oh, big time.
You want to keep people around? Have a nap room.
Yeah, dark, some cots.
You want them to disappear?
Nice beds,
don't have a nap room and a slide. That's great. Isn't that just the way things work
maybe
now?
Maybe real cold with some blankies in there, and then they put in that, what are those sounds, those sleep sounds? You know?
Oh, pipe in that music, that silent, that kind of
rushing water or something.
Oh, yeah.
Waves crashing.
Waves.
I'm down with that, man. How about Lamar Jackson? He is your reigning Heisman winner from Louisville. What did he work on this offseason to improve?
No, he said he wanted me to be on the center, get comfortable with the system a lot more, you know, going through my reads, you know, certain sets. They had me in the pocket, you know, doing movements in the pocket drill, stuff like that, just trying to see how fast I get from under the center. He always drilled that in my head, and we'll have a little thing, he'll poke at me, trying to make me drop back. You know, he was always in my ear about something, just trying to make me a better quarterback.
Okay, there's Lamar Jackson. He was the video game last year.
Boy, was he ever, until he got to Houston.
Todd Orlando handled him okay.
Yes.
Todd Orlando and those Houston Cougars on a Thursday night had his number.
Herman's.
Herman's had him, yep.
All right, a couple others, and that was ACC, their first day of the two-day media days. Of course, the SEC's got to be tough, and they go 4 days because they're the SEC. But they had Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze was on yesterday. Ole Miss overcoming NCAA sanctions. Former coach Houston Nutt has filed a lawsuit against them and the university. You know, a lot of distraction for Ole Miss. Here's Hugh Freeze yesterday.
It's the same message over and over again is we have to be accountable through adversity to each other. All right, so what are we going to be accountable to? Well, that's where those individual meetings came in, and I went in detail. Here is what we're saying we're going to be accountable to each other through this time of adversity, and it's faith, attitude, mental toughness, integrity, love, and spelling out for each of those what those mean. and then living it out. And faith, I don't mean that they have to believe just as I believe, but you better have faith in something bigger than yourself to get through adversity.
And see, their adversity is...
Or you could cheat.
Yeah, I mean, their adversity is off the field, stuff that they put on themselves. That's a hard way to go into a season. You know, if you lost your quarterback, he busted his leg, or you lost a second string quarterback, this is adversity that they put on themselves. You know, and this is going to be hard for this team.
We'll see. And, of course, Chad Kelly, the quarterback's off to the league, and they've been churning out good players. How they get to those players, a different story, what they're dealing with the NCAA. But Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss, and, of course, for the Aggies, you got to deal with Alabama and Auburn. How about Gus Malzahn? He's got Jared Stidham, the Baylor transfer at quarterback. A lot of pressure always at Auburn, and you got to deal with it.
That's the kind of jobs you want, that have high expectations. And Auburn's a place that expects to win championships, and I feel the same way. The good thing is this year we got a real chance. Now, we got to seize the moment. We play a tough schedule. You got to win close games and everything that goes with it. But it is what it is, and it's a good thing from a coach's standpoint that you have a team that has an opportunity to do something special. So from a coaching staff, we got to seize a moment. From a player standpoint, we got to seize a moment, and I'm looking forward to watching this team.
All right, there you go. There's some coach speak. Big-time coach speak right there with Jimbo and Dabo and Gus.
Jimbo's got it going on.
Jimbo's got a good team.
Yeah, he's got a really, really good team if they can protect their quarterback.
We'll come back. When we do, it's Hot or Not, the Hot or Not issues of the day. BK leads us through that, including a picture that was snapped of, I'm calling, the downfall of society, Kim Kardashian, the Cash Me Outside girl. Cash Me Outside
Cash
girl.
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
It's the end of the world.
Oh, it is the end of the world.
I mean, it is not good. Plus, BK has some issues he wants us to attend to. We'll get to those. Also, reset your headlines, top of the hour. Also, after the top of the hour, we're going to have a chat with a former Longhorn legend, Longhorn great. There's a big event tomorrow out at Falcon Head Golf Club. We'll tell you all about it. And it's, you know, a great memory and great memorial tournament. We'll get that for you coming up as well. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hot or Not is brought to you by Altstadt Beer.
Find it in most local chains, HEB, Whole Foods, Twin Liquors, Specs, Total Wine, and at your favorite local watering hole. German beer brewed in Fredericksburg.
No impurities, no regrets.
Hot or Not on a Friday, 100 degrees, that'll be hot, no doubt. There's a chance for some rain this weekend, 30%, a little bit of more unstable air rolling in, so could see a shower or two this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Keep that in mind. You're headed out for whatever you are, whatever you're doing, Take some water. Hydrate yourself.
Lots of it.
Please do. All right, Buck. Also, before we get to BK, a couple things, hot or not. So I mentioned last hour this lady who was in St. Martin in that world-famous airstrip, their main airport where the jet airliners take off and land right over top of the beach, and it becomes a tourist attraction. And a lady from New Zealand was killed when a jet airliner taken off, the air engine blast blew her into a rock.
Took a header, didn't she? Yeah.
Hang on. No, I mean, 57-year-old lady. Well, now one of you knuckleheads has sent me the video and said, do you think I really want to watch that?
Ooh.
Like, they have it on video. Because everything, I mean, everybody's got their video cameras out, and they're watching these planes go over.
So she's right there in the video or something.
Like, I don't want to watch that.
You're going to watch that eventually.
No, I will not. I don't want to watch a lady get killed. What is this, Faces of Death?
All right.
I'm fine just reading the story and understanding what happened, that she's a 100-pound lady who got hit by the blast and the thrust, and it blew her into a rock. And
slammed her face first?
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
I don't either.
I'm good.
Nope.
Nope. Not here.
No, I don't want to see that.
Thanks for sending, though, Nathan. Appreciate you.
I don't even like to see sports hits. You know, when guys get hit real hard, I'm not going to watch this.
I've twisted my ankle so many times. Every time I see somebody roll their ankle, I know this
I don't like seeing that.
I can't watch it. I got turned. No, thank you.
No, BK, thanks. Are you going to put it on all four of your screens at the house and watch it?
You going to watch it, BK?
I might check it out.
Of course he's going to check it
out. Check it out. Yes. What do we have, BK?
All right, guys. Today is a couple of national days.
Of course.
National Mac and Cheese Day.
Oh, come on. Now we're talking.
You guys got a favorite spot for mac and cheese, a favorite recipe, a mac and cheese story, anything like that?
Steiner Ranch Steakhouse mac and cheese with shrimp. I think it's got, what's it got? It's shrimp? Lobster.
Lobster.
Lobster mac and cheese.
Lobster mac and cheese.
Too rich to eat the whole thing. Delicious.
A lot of them have the jalapeno mac and cheese.
Sure.
It's one of the staples of my existence through 44 years. And I don't eat a lot of it more. My kids do. I made three boxes of it last night. As a matter of fact, that deluxe mac and cheese.
Yeah, my kids used to eat it with wieners, too.
Oh, yeah, hot dogs. You,
hot dogs and mac and cheese.
Cut up little wieners and put it in there.
That's right.
A little hamburger helper action.
Ooh. I made plenty of that. No, but the old school, I made three boxes last night because I got the kids in town, my brother's kids.
Kids still eat that
mess.
They
eat the whole damn thing. Those kids can mouth through some mac and cheese, my friend. Loving the macaroni and cheese. But let me think my favorite. You know, our friends at Pluckers have the fried mac and cheese.
Fried mac and cheese? And
that thing's outstanding.
You the Holy Mac.
The Holy Macaroni. Holy Macaroni. Oh, yeah, man.
Best thing on their menu, and it's not close. Those are delicious.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just fried and dipped in, and then, mac and cheese.
They got mac and cheese. Raspberry butter. Chutney, whatever that means.
Chutney.
In the ranch.
Oh, man. All right, so, yeah. So send us your favorite spot for mac and cheese or your go-to recipe.
They got the deluxe stuff now at the stores where you don't even have to do anything. You just... Yeah. Oh,
That's what I made last night. You cut it up, squeeze that in there.
Cheese sauce.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Kids go down with that, man.
All right, Buck. I know a day you prefer over National Mac and Cheese Day. Today is National Nude Day.
Oh, what?
Taking any nudes today, Buck? Any gardening going on out there?
It's too damn hot, man. You can burn your stuff right now.
You're not wearing any clothes. That helps with the heat, right?
No. No. I mean,
it's National Nude Day.
It is Nude Day.
Nude Day, apparently. Friday, July 14th, National Nude Day.
This will perk me up a little bit. This perks me up. I'm thinking maybe a Hippie Hollow trip today, maybe.
This might be the...
Reading day. Reading some of the classics on the rocks.
This is the nudist celebration day. And I'm gonna have to say get out to Barton Springs like I was earlier this week.
To see the nudes.
Yeah, the description is National Nude Day is a way to keep cool on a hot, sticky summer day. Nudist groups around the world celebrate this holiday and take it quite seriously.
Some of you shouldn't be nude, though. Some of you should cover up things.
Yeah, that's not for everybody.
No, it's not. No, you know what? I think I'll celebrate that today, actually. I think I'll walk around my house naked all day when I'm at the house.
You do that anyway.
I know. Is that a weird thing?
Not that I know that.
But is that a weird thing? Do you think that's weird? BK, you live by yourself. Do you just buff it up, just walk around with nothing on sometime? Put a towel on the couch and watch TV, like Game of Thrones naked or something. You don't do that?
Nah, not for more than a minute.
You live alone, you should be.
Yeah, I mean, I get out the shower, and if I got to walk around and get something, you know, I'll walk around naked. But
you don't spend a couple hours walking around naked in your place.
I'll just go with the shirtless option, shorts
Matthew
on.
McConaughey.
Okay, yeah. All right.
A couple before we get to BK again. Bacon, mac, and cheese at Vince Young Steakhouse. Outstanding. This is mac and cheese.
Is Vince making that stuff?
I don't think Vince is making it. I bet he's had it. It says Texas Land and Cattle used to have some amazing mac and cheese.
They
got rid of it. Three cheeses, bacon, cilantro, breadcrumbs.
Oh. Mm.
Our man Stu Myrick, who will be our on-site engineer for the next couple days up in Big D Dallas, just tweeted, texted to say, the mac and cheese at AT&T Stadium press box. Pretty tasty. And that's a nice press box, by the way.
That's the number one.
Thanks, Stu.
AT&T.
And Stu would know because, you know, Stu's a fan of feeding the media. You know what I'm saying? That media meal.
You got to have that. You have to feed. You got to feed the media.
Best part of being in media.
You told me that when you do Lake Travis University games, that they feed the media pretty well.
They do. They have food up there.
What?
Yeah, they bring us barbecue and all kinds of stuff up there. Come on, man.
I don't think Ed Clemens would have survived without the free media meal.
Oh, my goodness. I saw that media meal at College Station last year when I went up there.
Oh.
Holy mackerel, they had ice cream and everything up there.
Oh, yeah, they take care. Right, nice things, please.
Yes.
Well, I've been to AT&T Stadiums, and it's posh.
They do a good job, yes.
Remember, we were down at Houston, right? NRG. NRG, we had the sweet buffet. We were down there for Houston in Oklahoma.
People think I'm crazy. That's my favorite stadium.
NRG? Well, they had the Super Bowl there last year.
They're the nicest people. They're the nicest people at the stadiums, the way they treat the people that come in there. They make sure you get to where you need to get to. I like those folks here in Houston.
Hey, how about this? Hot or not on this, Buck and BK. Andy Roddick's wife, Brooklyn Decker, I had her heart broken recently by her husband. Apparently, she went on vacation or went away for a couple days, came back, and Andy Roddick had gone on a cleaning spree and threw all his trophies in the trash, threw it away, threw everything away. Yeah. She said he decided those don't mean success. They don't define him. I don't really care. He doesn't want to have those material things, so he threw all of his trophies. She says he thinks he kept a couple, but he's not displaying them.
Well, that's okay. That's good for him.
What's he doing?
My mom's still trying to get me to get to the house and get all my high school stuff out of her house. She is.
Won 32 titles over 12 years and the 2003 U.S. Open. She said, I don't think he threw that away.
Get all your stuff out of here, please.
I think he kept the years. Open Championship.
Of course he did.
She's quite a trophy herself, you know.
She's a nice lady, too.
She's, yeah, when we met her at the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. Very nice lady. They just had their first child, Hank, recently.
Didn't know that.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll hit your headlines. We'll talk to a Longhorn legend who's helping to spearhead a great effort for a great cause coming up. We'll hit that. Plus, continue to hit the top stories. Wimbledon, Roger Federer coming up in a couple hours. We'll keep you posted on that. A lot to do. It's B&E on the horn.